Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Every year since 1981, the streets of Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin have been flooded with bicycles for the annual United Performing Arts Fund Ride for the Arts. The routes offer both recreational and avid bike riders a chance to see Milwaukee, all the while supporting the arts.
This Sunday's Ride for the Arts will attract more than 6,000 participants and hundreds of volunteers each year, which takes planning and skill to coordinate.
Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with route coordinator Steve Halmo and chief marketing officer Lee Lane Piney to find out the planning process that starts the day after the ride is finished.
We have to interact with between 15 to 17 different agencies and jurisdictions for our ride to go through, and that ranges from getting permission from villages and little cities so that we can go through their area, also finding out if our intended route is going to meet with construction that they have planned, and that's how we kind of put things together. And by January, we've got kind of something set, but it's still jello yet, and it can move around. So it isn't until probably March or April that we've got it finalized.
And have you ever rejected a route for any reason? What factors go into deciding where you're going to send riders through?
Well, one of the main things that we try to do with the ride is that we want to make it safe for our riders, but also the people that are on the route that are supporting the ride via sentries, SAG vehicles, and things like that. And another important aspect is how the public interacts with the ride, because it's not a closed course. So the riders are out there who must obey the traffic signs and all the rules of the road. So we want to make it safe not only for them, but for the people that encounter them. And that's just information and communicating when the ride takes place and things like that.
And have you ever had your eyes set on a route, but something falls through where you can't go forward with a motion?
Yeah, for a number of years, we wanted to do the Hone Bridge so bad, but it was just politically and not viable for whatever reason. So once we finally got that, it was like, well, we can't goof this up now.
Yeah.
So we got to do our homework on this. And fortunately, we've been have that, and so we're pretty happy to have that as a part of our route. I tell you, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, and City of Milwaukee have just been fantastic. They've just been very helpful for us to put on our ride across the bridge.
That's great. And the Hone is a very popular route. Mm-hmm. Are there any other locations or routes you wish you could do around Milwaukee or southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, we've been trying different things, but with our riders and things like that, we kind of interrupt traffic quite a bit, especially if we go out west, north, south traffic. It's quite interrupted if with our riders going through, so, since we've got upward of 7,000 riders going in different directions. Mm-hmm. So we're fortunate in the fact that our routes are primarily along the lake, and they offer fantastic views and great vistas. And so we've been kind of pushed against the lake, but that's okay because we think we got the benefit. And so far, we've been offered different things. And when they do that in different jurisdictions, they want to show off a portion like the Ozaukee Interurban Trail with the bridge over I-43. So that was kind of cool for all our cyclists to go over that past couple of years. So whenever an opportunity comes up, we sure like to take advantage of it because we have the support of that community.
Exactly. I was actually on that trail myself a couple weekends ago.
Oh, great.
So, Lee, with your role as chief marketing officer, what kind of things do you oversee, especially now leading up to the ride when you're getting into those final days?
So leading up into the final days of the UPAF Ride for the Arts, there are just a number of logistics that are still taking place. You know, we start really planning the next ride the day after the last ride starts. You know, there's some cleanup to be done, but we really start thinking about next year's ride right away. So it's a very long process, but no matter how far in advance you plan, it always eats up those last few days, so there's just a lot of details still taking place. And also just still the promotion of it. You know, we still want to make sure that everybody's aware that the ride is taking place, that you can still register online and in person and even the day of the ride.
Many people who either see the volunteer shirts or participant shirts, they see the logo for the Ride of the Arts, and that changes every year. What kind of thought process and what people come together to make these new designs?
We work with an agency here in town called STIR Advertising and Integrated Messaging. So they've been our agency for the past 3 years. So they have been the creative force behind the new designs every year. And we do a new design every year because people look forward to seeing what's the 2015 ride design, and they get a new T-shirt every year, and many people collect them. So we want to keep those refreshed, and they always have to have some tie to the arts. You know, this year, our creative is a gear with performing arts images within it. So there's always some connection to, again, tie the ride to the performing arts in a fun and interesting way.
So with the rides and the teams that are together, what are you looking for either in participants and routes? And one question I had in mind was, are there more potential for either accidents or confusion because this is a large recreational ride compared to, you know, a professional ride or more group-focused ride? What kind of precautions go into this event to either educate the riders before they start or the volunteers?
Well, we have a multi-layered approach. What I like to do is when we get with our own staff and when we have our sentries out, they are directional and they offer help with the riders along the way. We've got that overlaid with all the municipality police departments and or sheriff's departments that kind of oversee that, taking care of in critical intersections where our riders pass through. With that, we've also got a private ambulance services that are at our Oasis stops, and what they do is they supplement the 911. So along with that, we have ride marshals that ride with the riders, and basically they carry first aid kits and tire repair, because with this ride, since it's one of the first ones of the season, we get a myriad of flat tires and changes, so everybody gets a lot of chances to change tires mm-hmm. on Sunday. So what we try to do is kind of overlap and make sure that we've got everything covered with that. And since it isn't not a closed course, it's also not a timed event either. So that helps us in a lot of respects, is that we don't have to make sure that each and every intersection is blocked and things like that. So it's a little different kind of animal in that respect.
There have been more than 280,000 participants since it started in 1981. And Lee, perhaps you can answer this. How many riders are you expecting this year, and what kind of age ranges are you finding? And what are the trends since you've started? Have you seen more adults do it, or more families or groups get involved?
Well, if we meet what we did last year, we're expecting about 6,000 people, and that's a combination of individuals and teams. And, you know, in terms of the makeup, it really varies, because we've got from 5 to 66 miles. You've got your avid cyclists that are out there to do the 66 and really get a good workout in and put miles on. And then you've got families that come out to do the 12 or the 5 mile, and they'll ride at a leisurely pace and just have a really nice day out. So it really varies.
And how many volunteers do you have? Is there a certain formula that you need so many volunteers per riders? And how do you recruit these volunteers? And is there such a thing as too many volunteers?
Never. There's never too many. We never turn anybody away. If they want to join, it's better having more folks than not. And we've been fortunate over the years that we've been able to attract people and make sure that all the critical areas are staffed.
And what sort of roles do they fill?
They range anywhere from their sentries that are out on the route. We have the start line folks that coordinate all the start line at the different times and get all the groups together. There's a whole registration area and a lot of people behind the scenes that I don't know what they do, but they just put everything together and make sure that the ride gets off. Out on the route, we've got our SAG drivers, which are out circulating on the route to pick up riders to take them to the Oasis stops, which is also staffed with ambulance, bike repair, and food and water. So they're all in position there. We've got our ride marshals, which I mentioned before, and a critical group that has been with the ride ever since I've been with it is the ARES communication folks, and that's the Amateur Radio Emergency Services Group. And we have radio communications throughout the route. And I must say, without those folks, there's no way we would know what was going on, at mm-hmm. least from a safety aspect. This way we can respond very quickly to anything that might come up and avert anything that could get any more serious. So,
which is very important on an event as big as this.
Absolutely.
Especially.
Yeah.
We have upwards of 600 volunteers for an event of this magnitude. So many of them on the day of, but also leading up to the ride. So there are volunteers out helping us with in-person registration today. They come in and help us put together ride packets. So there's a really large and dedicated group of people that help us each year, many of them from the UPAF member groups and affiliates, but also people in the community that just want to support the arts.
And what do you think, in your opinions, is the best feature of this year's ride that you're looking forward to having the public experience?
Well, I think it's just the first real big ride of the season. And I think it's just kind of a kickoff. You shrug off the winter and cold spring doldrums and get out and ride. And hopefully we'll have a wonderful day for that. So,
and one thing that people may not realize if they haven't done the ride before is that beyond the ride experience itself, afterwards we have what's called the finish line party at the Summerfest grounds. So there it's free and open to the public, and we'll have entertainment by Miller Rhythm and Brews Review, and there'll be kids' interactive activities. There's free hot dogs from U Singers, beer samples from Miller Coors. So just a lot going on at the grounds after the ride.
Well, it sounds like a great event, and I wish you both the best of luck for the upcoming weekend. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steve Halmo is route coordinator, and Lee Lane Piney is chief marketing officer for the annual UPAF Ride for the Arts, which is scheduled for Sunday morning. They spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and there is more information at WUWM.com.